This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
He just hit Winker with the first pitch. Scott Service is calling for him to be thrown out of the game. Winker's trying to get towards Phil Nevin. And the benches are clear. And Justin Upton comes in. And we have chaos. Can't remember the last time we have seen one of these with the Angels and an opposing teammate knocked out.
I've often said, if people show you who they are, believe them. And I'll leave it at that.
They're not going to rook us.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's almost as if baseball knew that sports were ending.
Yep.
Sports are over. The Stanley Cup wrapped up last night, and sports are over. Sports are done, but continue to listen to your favorite sports radio station. Of course, of course. There's things to talk about. There's always things to talk about.
Of course.
Sports radio never existed on games alone, if on games at all. It's all about talking. I was tuning in to some other shows, talking of plenty of things that I'm sure that some people care about, and I don't care about at all. It's talking season in all of sports, right? Yeah. The Stanley Cup is over. Now, baseball nerds will get mad to hear that. By the way, Dennis Cox, executive producer of the show, my man Graham sitting in, associate producing. I am Hayes Permar filling in for Adam Gold.
Associate
Did I hear
hosting.
I am associate hosting.
Yeah.
No, I'm guest hosting. I'm interim pinch hosting,
there you go.
If you will, since we're in the baseballs of summer. I understand that Adam Gold maybe didn't like it when I called him a golf dork. I thought he would love that term. I meant it as a term of affection. My sources have told me.
He says he accepted it, though.
That maybe, yeah, there was some video that maybe he didn't love it. But I admire him. Will Brinson's a golf dork. We may talk golf with him coming up next, even though I didn't really watch the tournament this weekend. But baseball nerds, who also might take offense to that, are going to be like, what? Sports aren't over. Baseball is here. And again, I'm going to hit this in just a minute. Kudos to baseball for realizing yesterday was the day. Let's start making some headlines. And they did, and we'll talk about those. A brawl, a walk-off, some extra innings from two big-name teams in baseball. But, of course, here in North Carolina, to me, baseball means minor league.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an MLB team. We've got an NHL team. We've got an NBA team. We've got an NFL team. We do not have a Major League Baseball team. But we've got a lot of awesome minor league teams. So anyway, sports are over, except for baseball, which is still going on. But to me, that's a minor league sport until like later in the postseason, or unless it's 1991 again, and I'm 13.
But we have the Canes and the NHL draft coming up in a couple weeks.
I mean, again, there's a lot of talking stuff.
Can we speculate if Rob Gronkowski is going to come out of retirement at some point this season?
No, that's not actually sports. I'm sorry.
Okay. What about Kyrie?
I mean, I love doing the class. No. That's the one that I was hearing lots about. The Kyrie KD. Oh, my gosh. I am very interested on what team they're going to be next year.
Yeah.
I am not interested in anything else on all the talk about which team they're going to be. I'm just not.
What about the Bruins preseason schedule?
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
I just saw it tweeted.
The Boston Bruins?
Yeah.
Look, you were stretching it for me to say that sports lasted all the way to the end of the Stanley Cup without the Carolina Hurricanes being involved. For me, if I'm being totally honest, hockey ended when the Canes were out.
That's fair.
Like, I tuned in some, and I'm glad it turned into a pretty good series. But, like, yeah. So the bottom line is sports are over. That doesn't mean we can't have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And we can still talk about what they were this weekend. And that's what we do to get out of the gate.
They're off.
Congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche, winning their first Stanley Cup since 2001. What the arrogance of these programs when they say these things, first since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting there, we're lucky that the Canes have won one in our lifetime.
Yeah.
But like the Panthers and the Hornets are like, first since 2001? What are you talking about? Like, if it's a first for a franchise ever, we'll note it. Until then, it's just Colorado Avalanche win another Stanley Cup. And it's not like they've been bad since then. They've been okay, if I've been following the sport well. But the Colorado Avalanche close it out four games to two over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa took an early lead. Then they just disappeared in the third period.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, it was 2-1 in the score. You knew that the Avalanche weren't just going to sit back and play all defense and let the Lightning take shots at them. But the Lightning, like, looked like at some point, kind of like the Canes did at times this year, where it was like, dude, just let's just start firing shots, someone. That's always my philosophy in sports. Like in basketball, if we're close to the rim, put it up on net. Good things can happen, not just the scoring. There's multiple good things that can happen. Put it on net. The Tampa Bay Lightning did not last night. In the first 10 minutes, I think, of the third period, they didn't get a shot off. They lost 2-1. The Avalanche win. I do think it was the best two teams in hockey. Again, all of my hockey takes come with this disclaimer of super, super Canes first, almost Canes only hockey fan here.
Yeah.
But from everything I saw, read, and even observed a little bit on my own, like when you saw those two teams play in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Lightning maybe were sleeping a little bit during the year, but throughout the playoffs, we saw reminders of why they were the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. But the Avalanche denied them the third one, and they get the win. All right, here are my big notes and takeaways.
Okay.
Once again, I'm not going to – this is the last time I'm going to say it. If you tune in after this, you're just going to think I'm an idiot. Casual hockey fan, mm-hmm. Canes first hockey fan here, right?
That's fine.
Here are my big takeaways. All one, right. That dude, Kale McCarr is good. He won the Norris, Calder, and Conn Smythe. Conn Smythe is playoff MVP, Cox. Norris is defensive player of the year. And Calder is rookie of the year. Yes! And he won them all, which is much more difficult than remembering what all those are supposed to be. But congratulations to him. So congratulations to Kale McCarr, who I continue wanting to call, I find myself continuing wanting to call, Cal Maker.
Yeah.
Like, if he were Cal Maker, he could be driving the 32 Bojangles car, working out of a Mooresville garage. And, like, that's what should have. We should have, instead of Kale McCarr winning the Norris, Calder, and Conn Smythe, it should have been Cal Maker took first. Where were they this weekend? I don't even know where they raced. Winston?
Yeah, we're saying they're in Winston, yes.
They don't even race.
But we're going to put them there anyway. No. He's in the 32 Chevy Bojangles car.
Cal Maker in the 32 Chevy. I'd like to thank the good people at Bojangles. He got the win at Darlington this weekend. I don't know. Yes. I'm making it up. But I want Cal Maker to be a NASCAR guy. Instead, it's Kale McCarr, a very good NHL player. Also, fortunately, he wasn't the NHL player who tripped and fell with the Stanley Cup and apparently dented. And dented might have been a generous word. It looked like it ruptured the cup.
It
like
took it, a chunk out of it.
Like, dented, bending is worse than denting, and it looked like it bent, even though they were saying dent.
Yeah.
So, is this what it sounded like when the thing dented?
Yeah. These were actually. This is some live audio. So he was carrying the cup towards his team for a team photo, and this is what it sounded like from his teammates as he was falling down. That was the sound from his team as he dropped the cup.
I can't even believe I fell for that. I was like, I watched video of this. I was like, there wasn't a whole lot of audio involved. Give it to me again. He killed the cup. And as we know, there's like 5 Stanley Cups. That's just the display one anyway. It's fine. It's fine. All right, other cool notes. Nazem Kadri, first Muslim to win the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. Now, I saw that as a tweet, and then I saw people saying that was verified. The only thing I'm going to say is, like, how do we know what every person's religion was? I get mm-hmm. the presumption based on the culture and where the sport has been played. But, like, I'm not willing to say with 100% certainty that is true. I am willing to say with certainty that it's very cool. Anytime we see a sport or an art or whatever it might be started embracing cultures and evolving cultures beyond the one that it originated in, that's a cool thing, and that's good for the growth of the sport. So Hats off to Nazem Kadri. That was very cool. On the opposite side of cool, Corey Perry. And Dennis, you pointed this out.
Yep.
Three straight losing teams in the Stanley Cup Finals. Three different teams. It's one thing if you're on, like, if you're on the Buffalo Bills and you lost four straight Super Bowls, it's like, all right, well, you know, just you were on the Bills and they couldn't get it done. He's been on three different teams, and they keep losing the Stanley Cup Finals. He's on Dallas, they lost. Montreal, they lost. And he's like, all right, I'm on Tampa Bay now. This is the team that beat me the last 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they lose. So, whatever we want to do, I don't know what the Canes want to do this offseason. I'm not going to tell Tom Dundon and the crew what they should be doing. But I got to say, I don't want any part of Corey Perry.
No.
If we go to the Stanley Cup Finals with Corey Perry, it's over.
Yeah.
You do not want Corey Perry on your team if you're going
to
win.
Just scratch him. Get to the Stanley Cup Finals and then just bench him.
Give me that might be the only
way to
do it.
That might be the way to do it.
Hey, can you give me that sound of the Stanley Cup falling when the guy was skating? One more time. Oh, yeah, there it is. Stanley Cup hitting the ice one more time. And then the last note I have from – no, I've got two more hockey notes, actually. None of them directly Stanley Cup related, but one could be hopefully in the future. The Chicago Wolves won the Calder Cup. That is the Carolina Hurricane affiliate Chicago Wolves. Remember, Dundon played hardball. We don't have the team in Charlotte anymore, which I thought would be a lot more convenient, especially as much as we move guys up and down, especially goalies. Alex, is it just Lyon?
Yep.
Alex Lyon was in the net for the win.
But
we saw it should be Leon, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like Cal McCarr instead of Cale Maker. We saw Cucci in net for some games, including getting in a fight and I think dropping birds on the crowd maybe even.
Yeah.
Just Cucci, good stuff from him and Lyon. Hopefully they'll be ready for the big show sometime soon. Last note on the hockey front. Today at 3 o'clock, so after our show gets off air, but maybe we'll get some leaks, the 2022 Hockey Hall of Fame class will be announced. Are you prepared to be angry when Rod Brind'Amour is not among the Hockey Hall of Fame class of 2022?
I'm already angry. I already have tweets scheduled for 301 Hayes Brind'Amour.
I don't know what I don't know the rules of hockey. Is he only getting observed on his player merits now, or every year of his coaching is it adding to his resume?
I'm not entirely sure how that works. In all honesty, I think that I'm not entirely sure if they combine his playing with his coaching. I don't know. But to me, his playing career should be enough in and of itself. You have 14 seasons of 50 or more points.
Luke Dukak over at the News and Observer, friend of the program and a friend of mine, makes a great case in a column that he's used a couple times in the past couple years because the resume hasn't changed. Obviously, he's not playing anymore. His numbers are not changing. They're there. They're good. He won a cup. And if he won it somewhere other than Carolina, these biased hockey Hall of Fame voters, whoever they are, I don't know if it's writers or I don't know who it is. But no, seriously, he wins that same cup in Philadelphia or Boston or wherever, and it counts more. They count our cup less, and that's crap. Mm-hmm. That's crap.
Gosh, could you imagine if he won it for the Rangers?
Put Rod in, good Lord.
They would have
Lord.
Statues for him.
Good Lord. They would have made it like an ESPN Rangers channel. They would have just devoted an entire channel to him. Next up on Getting Out of the Gate, the College World Series finished up last night when Ole Miss swept Oklahoma. Now, much like NHL hockey, where I care a lot less about it. When the Canes are out, I care a lot more about the College World Series when one of our teams is in it, right? Mm-hmm. Like last year, I found the College World Series way more interesting, right up to the point that they threw NC State out on some crap. More crap. We're just getting crapped on here in the state of North Carolina. But Ole Miss won it. And here's why they won it. First of all, it was cool. Ole Miss was like one of the last teams in, and they proved themselves. But here's the real reason they won. Have you ever heard of Rocco's Pizza and Cantina in Omaha?
No.
I hadn't either. But if I go to Omaha, I'm going there.
Is that the cantina they went to on Tatooine?
No, okay. That's not that one. Okay. The real question would be, did they serve Jell-O shots in the cantina at Tatooine? Mm-hmm. Because they do at Rocco's. In fact, they served 18,000 of them to Mississippi fans. Over at Rocco's, they had a board up where they put all the eight teams that are in the College World Series,
okay.
and they keep score of how many Jell-O shots they've ordered. And I think the winner maybe gets some a donation made to charity, maybe even to the school or whatever it is. So it quickly became a showdown between two schools, Ole Miss and Arkansas. It wasn't even in the final because it started before that. And, like, poor Stanford had, like, 400 or 300 or something.
That makes sense.
The final score was Ole Miss, 18,000 Jell-O shots.
Goodness.
Arkansas, 8,000 something, and then it fell off after that. So they more than doubled up their next closest opponent. And I think it is clear, much like if you want to win a Stanley Cup, you do not sign Corey Perry to your team. If you do want to win a College World Series, you go to Rocco's and order Jell-O shots for your team. And let me tell you something. If East Carolina ever makes it to Omaha, that 18,000 record is in serious jeopardy, because I know at least 9 dudes that are going, and I know that they will each take 2,000 Jell-O shots just to win the thing. They won't take them all. They'll buy them and give them to their friends. Okay?
Of course.
So that is my College World Series analysis. Next up on
the Charlotte Hornets,
things to getting out of the gate. And things you can talk about at lunch all at the same time. The Charlotte Hornets found a brand new head coach. Again, sort of? Is he a new head coach? Not really. If you want to reelect President Barack Obama or President George Bush, you cannot. Because it's not just you can't have consecutive terms. There's only a limit of times you could be elected, right? But if you want to bring back an NBA head coach, you can do it, baby. And that is what they did with Steve Clifford after getting the thanks but no thanks from Kenny Atkinson for the Golden State Warriors. The Hornets went out. They talked to Mike D'Antoni, but they went with a defensive coach in Steve Clifford. I guess the thought is the offense is going to be good. LaMelo Ball can pass and score. They got some dudes who can shoot. By the love of God, if Gordon Hayward is healthy, then there's like a whole lot of offense. And then maybe Steve Clifford can get them to play, you know, 5 to 7 points better defense. They were one of the better offensive teams. They need to be one of the better defensive teams. The only thing I'll say about it, and I've read, you know, my good friend Brian Geisinger, our good friend Brendan Whitted, I've read some other folks. There's reason to think that Steve Clifford is not a terrible hire. It is not, it's not like, oh my God, this is so dumb. But just on the heels of the egg on your face from a coach, you know, changing his mind, on the heels of trading away the draft pick that fell to you that seemed like was the really good pick in Jalen Duren, mm-hmm. and then trading it away, punting for a future pick basically for money, it seemed like the team needed inspiration. They needed an inspiring hire for head coach. And I'm not saying that there's tons of options there. Although, I mean, to me, Quinn Snyder would have been even more inspiring than Steve Clifford. Again, I don't know the locker room, and I won't even claim to know Steve Clifford's X's and O's other than he's very well respected in NBA circles. He did a decent job the last time he was in Charlotte. He didn't have great teams. He had Kemba Walker for some, I think most of the time. Went to the playoffs twice. But it just doesn't feel inspiring enough to me. Now, maybe the Hornets are betting on LaMelo Ball breaking out into that superstardom in the next year or two and it being like, look, if we can win 50 games, win 45 games even, and LaMelo is a superstar, that'll be inspiring enough for fans, for interest, for talk, and for being in the playoffs and being interesting. But I don't know. I would have liked the sports radio thing to do is to boo-hoo whatever. I shouldn't make fun of sports radio people. Plenty of people would have offered solutions. I'm here to say I don't have a solution. I wish I could tell you I would have hired this guy. I don't have one. I'm just telling you Steve Clifford doesn't inspire me that much. Next up, getting out the gate.
He sinks 3-foot putts.
In the golf world, first of all, on the women's side of the PGA Championship, congratulations to NG Chun, who won another major, this time a PGA championship at Bethesda Country Club, a really cool country club to watch golf and to just hit up in general. Lexi Thompson sort of fell apart. This is kind of bad, and this happened a couple times recently in women's majors, and you, like, I'm not doing the sarcastic, you hate to see it. You really don't like to see it. You want to see majors won by people making plays at the end. Like, Will Zalatoris didn't choke at the end, because he was already down a stroke in the U.S. Open. He needed that putt to make it. But, like, that's what you want. You want somebody making a putt dramatically to make something happen. You don't want somebody finishing bogey-bogey to give up a lead. And that's what happened to Lexi Thompson. The other thing that was interesting, well, this is on the heels of Ingi Chun had kind of surrendered lead herself. She started off the major after day one up a bunch, and the lead sort of whittled away, and the day started and she gave away all the strokes. It looked like she was going to fall apart. She held on. The only thing is, Lexi Thompson and somebody else playing with her got put on the clock for slow play. And this is kind of interesting.
Like, because on the clock?
Not to make a draft pick. No, they got put on the clock for slow play, which is like a thing. Golfers know it. But like Justin Thomas tweeted in the ladies' defense, like, hey, I get slow play, but maybe read the room with two holes to go in a major. Maybe you don't warn somebody. But then, and a lot of people were trumpeting that tweet around, like, hey, Justin Thomas says he wouldn't want to be put on the clock with two holes left in a major. But somebody pointed out, the round took 5 hours and 45 minutes. Ugh. And this isn't the end-all, be-all, but like NBC had to punt the coverage over to CNBC because they couldn't keep going. Or, I mean, they didn't want to keep going for the golf coverage. 5 hours and 45 minutes. And when somebody pointed that out to Justin Thomas, even he was like, yeah, that is kind of a long round there. That's a bit of a dilemma, maybe. I'm not sure what can be done. But congratulations, regardless, to Ingi Chun. On the men's side, actually, the men's tournament kind of ended the same way with somebody bogeying at the end. But Xander Schauffele, one of the Travelers, and proving that the LIV Tour is having some impact. I didn't have that much interest in the Travelers this weekend. You can talk to the golf dorks when they show back up to work, how excited they were about it. The news that seems to be more interesting than the golf being played is who's playing where. And Matt Wolf is the latest to leave for the LIV Tour. That's right. Matt Wolf. I said it. And we heard this late last week. I saw this over the weekend. I'm not sure exactly when it came out. But the PGA Tour is trying to do some things in response to the LIV Tour. And, like, I get it. And you need to show that you are trying. But I don't think it's going to change a whole lot. It includes they return to a calendar year schedule in 2024, 8 tournaments with beefed up purses, revised field sizes for the FedEx playoffs, and a fall lineup to feature 3 no-cut, limited field international events, which sound very much what the LIV Tour is. So yeah. I'm not sure how they're going
to. Are they shotgun starts?
Get away. I don't know if they're going to be shotgun starts or three rounds only. But,
by mulligans.
That would be interesting.
There are going to be donuts before the tournament kicks off.
It's much more about what shakes out with the majors in the next couple of years. The majors are using our hands are tied. It happened, and they are already qualified right now, so there's nothing we could do. The Open Championship, the U.S. Open. Moving forward, we'll see if the majors try and make it harder for those guys to play. We'll see what happens with World Golf Rankings. And the final thing, getting out of the gate, is, yes, we mentioned it early, baseball. Stepping it up, realizing
yes.
that the stage is clearing and they've got to carry us for the next 2 months. What did we get last night? A good old-fashioned, real, legitimate punches being thrown, dudes angry, definitely some ceremonial guys holding guys back, but guys actually needing to be held back and pulled out of a pile in a Mariners-Angels fight that was very spicy. The Angels dude was thrown behind somebody like the first pitch of the game. Then they came back out for the second inning, nailed somebody again. And in a twist, and as it probably should be more of the time, when it's that obvious that the pitcher is throwing, there's a decent chance that he didn't just decide to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the, I can't even remember the guy's name, Winker for the Mariners.
Jesse Winker.
He starts looking over and he's like, all right, pitcher, like, F you, because I knew you threw it at me, but I know you guys are over here ordering it. And he went over to the bench.
Yeah.
And that escalated things very quickly. And I also always love when the announcers were calling and like, oh, the bullpen's coming in, as if it's like, ooh, the relief pitchers.
Yes.
But like, you think just because a guy is a relief pitcher doesn't mean he can't start some stuff, huh? Yeah. Is that what you think? But it's like, no, these are the dudes whose entire career depends on their fingers and arms not getting injured. Like, they ain't coming in throwing punches, right? Yeah. But it was good.
I've always waited for the time when, because, generally, they're coming from, like, left center and right center of the bullpens.
Sure.
Sometimes they're down the baselines. But I'm just waiting for the time when someone just cuts across center field and just takes out another reliever on the other team. Don't even get to the fracas. You know,
almost like when goalies fight, they're supposed to just fight each other.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, bullpen should just come out. Just come meet out, right there. Like,
right there in center field.
You're right there. Nobody has to run that far. You can fight.
Or save the energy. Don't sprint 300 feet. Just go right there.
Or even stay where you are and just start lobbing balls over at, you know, at the other bullpen. Just like battleship style.
E3. Hit.
Yeah. So we got a fight, which is cool. The New York teams are good. They have the two highest win totals in baseball. Yeah. Aaron Judge hit a walk-off yesterday. So, again, like, baseball was like, hey, guys, we need a big day today to remind everybody that we're here and we're going to take it for the next 2 months. We had extra innings in Braves-Dodgers last night. The Freddie Freeman's return to Atlanta, I believe that was. And
his World Series ring.
Dodgers got the win, but a good game nonetheless, and obviously big on TV. So those are the things that get us out the gate. But reminder, it is summer. It is summer, okay? Mm-hmm. We're going to talk sports, but we're also going to have to talk some fun. And that includes Will Brinson, who I refuse to begin talking too much NFL right now. And honestly, I think Deshaun Watson deserves whatever suspension he gets and probably more. And he's got the lawyers that will take care of a lot of things so that he'll be not criminally liable and limited civil liability, whatever. So I'm not minimizing the importance of that issue and protecting women. I like to treat that issue by taking more air away from it. I just am not going to talk about Deshaun Watson that much. I don't want to do 15 minutes on Will Brinson with Deshaun Watson. I would rather ask him this question, and I ask it to you as well. You can give us a call. 919-860-5FAN, 919-860-5326. I've put it on Twitter as well. Hopefully this summer you get a chance to take some vacation. Hopefully you travel somewhere in North Carolina. Beach, obviously great in the summer. A lot of people like mountains in the summer because it's freaking 60 degrees out there in the middle of the day sometimes, and it feels kind of good. My question is this. Fill in the blanks. If you go to blank North Carolina, you've got to visit blank. Mm. And I don't just mean restaurants, even though everybody on Twitter is taking on restaurants. So if you want to give me a restaurant, you got to give me one other one too. So if you go to blank North Carolina, fill in the city, place, county, whatever you want to do. Make sure it's in North Carolina, beach, whatever, park. You've got to visit / check out blank. All right? It could be a restaurant, but give me one other besides a restaurant.
I have one.
919-860-5326. We'll talk to North Carolina native Will Brinson about spots to visit in North Carolina and maybe some Panthers. I don't know. That's next.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. Are you willing to do that or that? Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
I'm declaring sports are over. But I got all kinds of nerds telling me they're not. Josh Goodson, European sports nerd, tells me that Wimbledon started today. Actually, we knew that because Serena's in it.
Yeah. That's all
that
matters.
And that the Tour de France is coming soon. Excuse me, the Tour de France. And now, joining us now from CBS Sports, huge golf dork and sick baseball nerd, Will Brinson is also going to tell me, oh, no, sports are just beginning. Brinson, what's going on, man?
I wouldn't dream of telling you that, Hayes. You sent me a text saying prep for this.
That's true.
I thought to myself, man, how refreshing that Hayes isn't going to even, for the second week in a row, isn't even going to consider asking me about Deshaun Watson.
Okay. Yes.
And I appreciate that. Like, you're not going to ask me about Lamar Jackson's contract or Kyler Murray's contract or the Panthers training camp or any of that stuff that no one cares about. I mean, the Wimbledon opening rounds.
Yeah.
The Tour de France. Grow up, Goodson.
He likes Eurosports because he can get up at 4 a.m. and they're in prime time. That's when he wakes up in the morning, those sports are. And I do think as an American culture, we are now getting more into, wait a minute, we've been waiting for the afternoon on Saturdays and Sundays for our sports. We're more and more like, I can get my sports on Saturday and Sunday morning. I can watch F1 and European soccer, like morning sports. And we've always had, the Open Championship. So, morning sports. I'm with him on that. But
Goodson, and I guess your colleague Joe Giglio of the OG, the afternoon show, were going back and forth about their professing their love for the Irish Open today on the OG text thread. I mean, come on, guys, come on,
get out of here with that. All right, I'm going to start each of our segments with a football question, just so that nobody can say we're not talking football. I heard you say last week that you guys are going through team over-under wins and whether or not you think they're going to hit them. So let's ask about the team that in theory we actually care about here in North Carolina, though they make it very easy to not care about them. What is the Panthers' over-under win total set at, and how rosy do you feel about taking the over on it?
I believe, and I'll double-check, because my birthday this past weekend, I got to be honest, I haven't looked at this stuff in a while. I could really care less about it. But I'm going to double check on Caesars/Will Hill to see if the Panthers have moved at all. They were at 6 wins, I believe.
Ooh.
And they're still at 6. The juice has actually moved. It is the under is now juiced to -120.
Gotcha.
And, I mean, I don't think that the only case to be made for taking the over, in my opinion, is if you are very, very confident that David Tepper is going to panic, scream at people, and demand that they trade for Baker Mayfield, which is like an entirely plausible, situation that could unfold with the Carolina Panthers as they sort of progress through the offseason and start to realize, oh, my dear God, our only quarterbacks are Sam Darnold and Matt Corral. And, I think if you're Matt Rhule, you're willing to get in David Tepper's ear, you're willing to get in anybody here in the front office and push your agenda that you do want Baker Mayfield, because I don't think that Matt Rhule chose Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold was a panic trade by the Panthers when Carson Wentz, Matthew Stafford, and Deshaun Watson all rejected them, a few years ago. So, if you're Matt Rhule and you're the odds-on favorite to be the first coach fired and you won 5 games in each of your first 2 years and you have – and you're only – the only way that you're going to save your job is with Sam Darnold, I'm figuring out a way to get Baker Mayfield. So that would be the only case for the over, I think. The roster's okay, but to me – in that, with the Saints being sort of a wild card with no Sean Payton, but having a good roster, the Bucs having Tom Brady back, and then the Falcons maybe having the worst roster in football, I would definitely lean towards the under here, but I would wait, I think, because the Baker Mayfield trade, it could make them upwards of a 7-win team, I think.
All right, Will Brinson joining for CBS Sports, and yeah, you just proved how much you haven't been paying attention, because clearly you didn't see that Sam Darnold had his best practice as a Panther just weeks ago in a workout, okay? So, and I hear that Matt Corral is slinging it. I've seen several tweets that would suggest as such. So you just hold up. No, I'm kidding, obviously.
And you won't believe this, but every single player on the roster is in the best shape of their lives. Unbelievable.
I will say, six, if they had put it at 7, it would have been easy to not take the over. When you put it at 6, it's just tempting enough. Because I'm like the sucker that's like, I want to be rooting for the Panthers, right? I want to. But if I have an under, obviously, then I'm not going to. So, if you gave it to me at 5.5 or whatever, I would take an over. A 7, no way I'm taking an over. 6, I think.
And look, Carolina was involved in a bunch of one-score games last year. They could have won, the Philly game. I mean, excuse me, the Minnesota game. that they probably should have won. I think they had Philly maybe on the ropes too. That was the argument people were making for the Panthers over. The offensive line has improved. If a couple of dudes on that defense take a step forward, maybe that unit is really good. I just think it's the Sam Darnold and Matt Rhule factor for me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where, I mean, you know, do the Panthers, we saw them play a lot of football last year, Hayes. Did they, you know, there they won their first three games. They finished 5-11. Did that team at any real point look like a 7-9 football team to you? And that's being generous.
Yeah. All right. Non-football stuff. We threw out the tweet. We've got some good answers. The sentence is, if you are in blank North Carolina, you've got to check out or visit blank. And I don't know if I gave you this disclaimer, but I didn't mean for it to be all restaurants, but maybe that's just the culture of North Carolina that so many people have answered all food stuff. So you can give me a food one if you want, but also give me non-food if you can. So you can pick any city you want. You can pick the city you're from, the city you live in, the city you know go to in the summer, whatever it is. And it doesn't even have to be a city. Like, if you're in blank North Carolina, you've got to check out blank. What do you got for me, Will Brinson?
Okay, so I mean, I definitely took it with the food angle.
Oh, that's
I think
fine.
It's hard. I think it's hard not to. And I'm currently in High Point, North Carolina, visiting my lovely parents, Bob and Ann Brinson. My brother Charlie's birthday is the 22nd. Mine was yesterday. Bob's is the 17th. You know, so we all congregate and hang out. And the two places that I have to go if I'm in High Point. Well, I guess there's a couple different ones, all food places, but the Doghouse, which is, as you might expect, delicious hot dogs and also fantastic hamburgers. Really the best chili that you'll ever have on a burger. You know, get loaded dog, loaded burger fries, and you're good to go for several hours. And then Alex's House, which is actually just down the road on Main Street. As you might imagine, if you haven't been to High Point very often, Main Street, pretty primary.
What's that? Wait, did we lose him? Brinson, you still there? I'm not hearing Will Brinson. All right, we'll check back in with Will Brinson in a second. Right now, we got Josh from Wendell. If you're in blank, you've got to check out blank. What you got for me, Josh?
So if you go to Atlantic Beach, you have to go to Fort Macon State Park on Wednesdays to see the cannon fire.
See, that's a perfect example right there. If you're in Atlantic Beach, go to Fort Macon on Wednesdays to see the cannon fire. That is what I'm looking for, because a lot of people will trek down to the beach. And I got to be honest with you, Josh. When I saw Josh from Wendell on the screen talking about Atlantic Beach, this is not the Josh I expected. I expected my good friend Josh Goodson. So I was pleasantly surprised that it was a different Josh. And this is the perfect answer. Josh, are you in Atlantic Beach right now, or are you in Wendell?
I am currently in Wendell.
All right. Are you in old school Wendell, like near downtown, or in the new Wendell Falls?
I am in the, not old school, but on the other side of downtown towards Zebulon.
Gotcha. Josh, we appreciate the call. That's a perfect answer right there. If you're in Atlantic Beach, you got to check out Fort Macon on a Wednesday. They fire the cannons. We'll ask Brinson for if he's got any other ones outside of High Point. And I've asked Brinson, avid concert goer, to put together an ideal 5-concert lineup for the summer, specifically summer bands. We'll ask him what that is next.
Over the crossbar, the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Chatham County Lime was one of the bands at That Music Fest this weekend. I'm not going to get on here and lie and say I was there. I had plans to be there.
I was there.
My plans got changed. I had some circumstances that would not allow me to go, but I've seen Chatham County. They had many of my favorite bands, so you know I'm not lying when I said I would have loved to have been there. I was not able to make it, but I saw some video footage from it, so it seemed like a great time. Dylan Finch, Chatham County Lawn, Mipso, Mountain Goats, Steep Canyon Rangers.
American Aquarium.
Yes.
Delta Ray.
Lots of bands. And it seems like a tradition that has only started. So very cool to see homegrown bands. All right. The subject is fill in the blank. If you are in blank North Carolina, you have to visit or check out blank. We got some answers from Will Brinson. Will, did you want to add any other ones to your list? Well, I think we cut off maybe one of your answers.
Did I drop off before or after I said Alex's house?
Yeah, you said Alex's house, but maybe we didn't get the description of what it was.
Oh, it's just an old school diner. Like, you might even still be able to smoke in there. I don't know if that's legal or not. Get the steak and cheese with the home fries if you go. It's unbelievable. Right. It's unlike any other steak and cheese you've ever had. That's what I will be having as I matriculate my way out of High Point this afternoon.
We've got a couple other answers. Former NC State Athletic Director Debbie Yao says, if you're in Gibsonville, North Carolina, you have to visit the miniature choo-choo train on Town Square. Runs on the weekends. Kids love it. And, of course, Josh in Wendell, who was not Josh Goodson in Wendell, surprisingly.
How is that possible?
I know. And he was talking about Atlantic Beach.
Atlantic Beach.
He said, if you are in Atlantic Beach, you got to check out Fort Macon on Wednesdays. That's when they fire the cannons. Some of my other favorite answers. Again, it was, if you were in blank North Carolina, you have to check out blank. And somebody got creative and said, if you were in Gastonia, North Carolina, you have to check out as soon as humanly possible. And also we got if you are in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, you have to check out your speedometer. I'm sure there are many places that might apply.
I'll throw one more out. I would say if you are, I don't even know how to phrase this right, but if you are in North Carolina and driving towards Tennessee,
okay,
you need to check out Highway 64 instead of I-40. It's a little bit longer, but the single lane route through the Nantahala and then through the Oconee is just unbelievable.
64. So, like, what counties are we talking here?
Like Brevard? Basically,
Brevard County.
It takes you down through. Like,
all right. So if you're in Western North Carolina, you have to check out 64 over 40. I respect that. All right, we're going to go to our other sort of summary question, but just to keep the sports fans happy, let me ask you my other question. It's tied to the first one. You talked about some of the quarterback options for the Panthers and some potential quarterback options if they actually did somehow trade for Baker Mayfield. But my question for you is this. Who starts the most number of games at quarterback for the Carolina Panthers this year?
Ooh. Let's see, if we're setting odds on it, I would think Sam Darnold is as I understand it, like, basically all of these rookie quarterbacks are going to start the season on the bench behind sort of the placeholder veteran guy, like this entire class, right? Like Trubisky, Kenny Pickett would have to be unbelievable to steal that job for Trubisky for week one. Desmond Ridder, unbelievable to steal that job from Marcus Mariota in week one. Matt Corral, unbelievable to steal that job from Sam Darnold in week one. So I think for the Panthers, you make Sam Darnold probably minus 200 to start the most games. Matt Corral, maybe 2.5 to 1, 3 to 1. And then I don't know what you would make Baker to start the most number of games. You know, you have to make it a number where it's like people, you don't want people like hammering it, right? So
right.
You can't make it like 8 to 1. I think it's probably like, I mean, Baker's probably like plus 175. I don't know. I mean, like, I just think you hear, you know, Jonathan Jones and Joseph Person, both of, you know, JJ works with me at CBS and Joe Person at The Athletic, but both have, you know, covered the Panthers, on that beat for a lengthy amount of time, you know, both hearing that the Baker Mayfield stuff is heating up. I mean, hey, the Browns have to trade him.
Yeah.
Even if unless Deshaun Watson gets a full year suspension, which is maybe looking possible now, and they, you know, somehow make amends with him, which it seems like that ship has sailed. So if they're trading him, really the Panthers and the Seahawks are the only landing spots, and Carolina needs a quarterback maybe more than the Seahawks do. So I think there's a pretty good chance that Baker Mayfield ends up on that roster unless Sam Darnold just looks, you know, fantastic all offseason.
Yeah, like you said, it's basically you're betting how much Matt Corral is going to play And then factoring in the what are the odds of a Baker Mayfield trade? Because you assume if they did make the trade, then he's coming in and he's going to start. Will Brinson joining us from CBS Sports. That's enough football for now. All right, Brinson, you're a big concert guy. And there are a lot of good concerts here all summer long. Billy Strings was in town in the Triangle recently, and that was one of the hotter tickets that I saw. Billy Strings, if you didn't see him at a small, intimate venue, you've probably missed your chance because that dude is on the way up. My question for you is, all right, we're giving you the Will Brinson. You could book five bands for like five, I don't know what night you prefer for a concert, Thursday nights in a row to kick off your weekend, or do you like a Saturday where you can like build up to it all day? Whatever day of the week you want. Five of them in a row in the summer. You pick the bands, but they got to be summer bands specifically. We're going outdoors somewhere. Who is in Will Brinson's all-star five-band concert series?
By the way, this band is not on the list, but I did see War on Drugs at Red Hat recently on a Monday, which really flips your whole week around when you go see a Monday show. And I saw our mutual friend Joe Ovius there.
Nice.
We had a good time. But that was the emptiest I've seen Red Hat. It was shocking, considering. I guess we just ran out of khaki wearing suburban dads who could fill an amphitheater. If I'm picking five, look, you probably have an idea of who I'm going to go with. I'm going to like sort of reverse engineer this. I think.
Do it, but you got to do it fast for me now. Sorry, I screwed up.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to filibuster for you, but
no, you're good.
It didn't pin out. I'm going to go with Sturgill Simpson.
Okay, I like that.
Sturgeon concert's awesome. I don't care what tour it's on. Give me the bluegrass. Give me the Sound of Fury. Whatever. I'll take any Sturge anytime. Wilco. Has to have Wilco on my list because, again, middle-aged dad. My Morning Jacket, of course. One of the best bands you'll ever see in concert. MMJ, they rock hard every single time. And then the two staples of my concert-going life, Phish and Widespread Panic, of course, make the list as well.
All right. So Sturgill, Wilco, My Morning Jacket, Phish and Widespread Panic, the Will Brinson five concert summer series. Booked sometime in the future at Red Hat Amphitheater or a theater near you. Brinson, we appreciate it. I promise I'll be in here some other time in the summer, and I'll let you talk more football.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon, man.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.